This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Arvind Yuvraj. Arvind, it's lunchtime now, and you know what I'm wishing for?
$1 million.
I wish. Well, basically, I wish to have food delivery without delays and food that would still be warm when it arrives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean, because we should have ordered our lunch before the show so it gets here in time. But guess what? Food delivery robots are coming. Like this time, they'll be cutting piping hot pizzas to Domino's customers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen here in Malaysia anytime soon.
Yeah, apparently Domino's joked about driverless delivery robots back in 2015 with their Domino Driver campaign. I actually really like that campaign name a lot, Domino Driver. But the pizza company just inked a partnership deal with Starship Technologies to be being used as its personal delivery device this summer in Hamburg, Germany. And if all goes well, they intend to bring this robot pizza delivery to Netherlands as well.
Yeah, so Domino Driver, it's like, for real, no? But this robot is not your fictional like humanoid model, okay? It's a self-driving cart with 6 wheels at a clip of 4 miles per hour that can carry just over 20 kgs of cargo. In Hamburg, the robots will deliver pizzas within 1.5 km radius.
Yeah, so Starship is facing competition in the bargaining market for professional service robots. Competitors range from startups like Marble to established players like Boston Dynamics. And the International Federations for Robotics forecast that between 2016 and 2019, logistics businesses will have begun using at least 175,000 robots to provide their service.
Yeah, so putting that to scale, UPS global fleet is already at about 100,000 trucks today. Starship Technologies is launched by Skype co-founder Arti Heinle, I think that's how you say your name, and Janice Fries in 2014. They also just signed partnerships with DoorDash and Postmates in the States.
Yeah, and there are a lot of retailers and restaurants waiting to see how robot delivery tech sort of shapes up. And of course, the red tapes as well. We don't know how regulators would react in using such devices. I mean, we've heard enough backlash about disruptive companies, Airbnb, Uber, you name all those, right?
Yeah. But the good news is that Virginia and Idaho actually allow robot deliveries. Mm-hmm. So that's a good step forward.
Definitely. So, back to Domino's, they also offered other tech-enabled and entertaining ways to buy a pie just by, tweeting a pizza emoji to @Domino's, or you request a delivery from their drivers of the Domino's DXP, which is the ultimate pizza delivery vehicle. Oh. It's a modified Chevy Spark. Very cool stuff there.
Yeah.
And in New Zealand, Domino's have also begun delivery by drones in a partnership with Flirty.
Yeah, when is any of this going to come here? When's it going to show up?
I think the problem is, if you have drones sending pizzas and all these robots sending pizza, it will never arrive at your doorstep because someone will hijack it halfway.
Along the way,
someone is going to hijack it somewhere. I know I will hijack someone's pizza just because,
And then someone else gets your free pizza and then they cannot find it. Those are like advancements, right, that we're talking about. So what we're seeing here is just the beginning of the logistics tech wave, though. But more seriously, we are still sorting out on-time human food delivery. And, I really should have ordered the food before this show because all this stuff is making me like super hungry.
I'm getting really hungry as well. Yeah. Now, anyways, I want to talk about work.
Okay.
Yeah, like proper work.
Let's get serious about it.
Let's talk about real work here.
Okay. Yeah. So wait, so you mean that this whole time, like the 5 minutes into the show, that we haven't been talking about work?
Well, I'm actually want to talk about the future of work.
Okay, so the future of us working is simple, right? Like we'd be just sitting at home making millions, like I said before, millions of dollars and operating robots to do the show. Or delivering our pizza.
Wait, so you're saying actually that I cannot do this right now itself? Because I was actually planning to use like a human droid to do tomorrow's show.
Oh.
Anyways, back to the serious note though, the future of work is just what we're going to talk about. Where do we belong and are robots really going to take over our jobs? I mean, we've talked about this many times on the show. Based on a recent research by Adobe, it looks like, despite a few people who are afraid, generally people are actually positive about automation.
Yeah. So Adobe Digital Insights has just released a research on the future of work, and it takes a look at nearly 3 million future work-related social mention captured from Twitter, news, blogs, and forums between January 2016 and January 2017. So currently, our region is suffering from a labor shortage situation, and according to the 2016 Hays Asia Salary Guide, 96% of Asian employees are worried that a lack of skilled workers will impact their business.
Yeah, and another 34% of them state that they do not have the talent to meet current business objectives, and companies affected include diverse industries. I'm talking about like from accountancy, finance, engineering to IT, marketing, HR. As you can tell, it's the whole lot. So automation is crucial, and it allows companies to upskill their current workers and, you know, let the mundane tasks be handled by robots, like the one that, you know, Steve Wozniak just invested in, you know, in the company that we mentioned on Monday.
Yeah, we're talking about this one side, but then on the other side, like we said yesterday, the Elon Musk, he is against the robots movement. Yeah. So we just have to see which one wins.
Yeah.
So with this automation, though, you're entering the realm of AI, machine learning and droids, and therein lies the risk of you losing your job. But fear not, because Adobe's Digital Insights gives some clues on what the future work might look like, and it isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. First was that people actually believe in automation.
Yeah, so it actually has a positive sentiment based on the report. Automation mentions have doubled year over year, and the average daily mentions of robots and jobs have increased about 70% year over year. Mm-hmm. And there are, though, some people that, you know, still worry about how robots and automation will impact labor. However, people are increasingly having discussions on how it can actually take over mundane tasks and allow them to focus on the creative and strategic responsibilities that is at the core of their career. So, you know, benefits such as saving time and, you know, big data analysis are mentioned most frequently. And this seems to indicate that a significant number of professionals are actually looking forward to automation capabilities.
Yeah. And second on that list is big data, better talent. So catchy, right? So it's called big data, better talent. I kind of like that a lot, actually, because human resources is beginning to incorporate big data analytics into its decision making. You see, like throughout the world, executives are leading the charge to incorporate analytics into into managing their talent pool. The concept of harnessing big data to recruit, to improve management, to replace performance reviews, and cultivate workplaces was the most popular FOW topic. Discussions over people analytics with respect to future of work have seen like a 20% increase year over year. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows that companies are concentrating efforts on their people, continuously transforming their workplaces into like new and better environments.
Yeah, and third one on the list is rocking the gig economy. Gig as in G-I-G. And no, we're not trying to plug any upcoming events that we're organizing very, very soon, because, you know, rocking the gig economy.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, there's some hints there over there. You know, stay tuned. There will be something about rocking anyways. But employees, they are motivated by flexibility and impact. And more people are actually gravitating towards gig economy, which is a contracted type of work that offers immense flexibility. Gig economy actually means that, you know, you handle short projects and you work sort of like freelance style. You are not tied down to a full-time job. So you work based on gigs in that sense, right? So gig economy mentions have tripled year over year, which could actually mean that more employees want to see a change in their company culture. And this might include their mandatory office shutdowns or a more versatile work schedules. And, you know, part times or a personal time off social mentions have actually taken a dip, which could signal a worrying trend of increasing stress.
Yeah. So now, the last one, that was the gig economy is like super interesting. Mm. But the last one is actually my favorite because it's about space age commuting.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Star Trek. Like, just, you know, beam me up, Scott. people are excited about speed, and not just internet speed, but speed of traveling. Self-propelled transportation could revolutionize commuting. Mm. Social media is ablaze with comments about Hyperloop and self-driving cars, with a total of 1.1 million mentions in 2016. Hyperloop speed and futuristic designs received 50% more positive sentiment as compared to buses, and twice more than taxis. So
no surprises, there.
Obviously, brands like Tesla, BMW, Ford, Volvo, and GM are also the top five brands mentioned for self-driving cars.
So it seems like, you know, overall overall, people seem to believe that the future of work is promising, particularly when it comes to the automation of mundane tasks, you know, automating documents or, you know, signature processes, for example. It could actually open up a whole new possibilities for people as the tech revolution advances.
Mm-hmm, exactly. We'll take a short Hyperloop break and then we'll come back in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
And we're back to the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff, together with Arvid. Now, right now, as we're speaking, there's actually a factory near the Oakland Airport in US that is being renovated to be used as a production plant, no pun intended, for a company called Impossible Burger. And it's just try to guess what kind of burgers they're trying to make. It's not chicken, it's not beef, it's not lamb, it's not fish, it's not any other weird animal. Impossible Burger is going to make a vegetarian burgers that they guarantee will be delicious enough to be ordered by everyone. Not just vegetarians. You said you were hungry earlier on, right?
Yeah, now I'm even more hungry. It's all about food today. Yeah, I actually got to know about Impossible Burger last year when doing some research for Five for Fortune on the things to look forward to this year. And Impossible Burger was, you know, on that list. It was one of it. They're basically making plant-based burgers that they say bleeds, quote-unquote, bleeds like any other meat-based burger. So the meat is developed by a team led by former Stanford biochemistry professor Patrick Brown. And the stuff is being produced in like a 10,000 square foot pilot factory, a facility in Silicon Valley, and a 1,500 square foot space in New Jersey. So they already have two locations at the moment. So this new facility, which is at around 60,000 square feet, so it's huge, will dramatically scale up production capacity.
Yeah, and scale up is an understatement, because when the factory is fully operational, it will be able to produce at least 1 million pounds of this Impossible Burger meat a month. And that's a whole lot of meat. And none of it actually comes from actual animals.
Yeah, it's so surprising. No, you don't imagine. and the burger isn't experimental at this point. It's actually doing pretty well. And there's a lot of demand. And that's why the people, they're scaling up to match the demand that the people have for it.
Yeah, so right now, the burger is currently available at 11 restaurants, including three more that launched it very recently on March 23rd. But by the year end, the company expects to supply over 1,000 restaurants with their meatless burger, and it just signed a deal to have the burgers featured in San Francisco's giant baseball stadium.
Yeah, and you guys should Google Impossible Burger and check out the pictures, because if I didn't like already know that it's a veggie burger, I would never even suspect that this is like fully vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like actual red juicy lamb or something. Anyway, so Patrick Brown started working on the project while thinking about the problem of climate change, because like raising cows and other animals for meat is one of the world's largest sources of greenhouse gases, right? It also uses and pollutes more water than any other industry. And this basically drives deforestation. So there's a lot of problem there. But he realized that the majority of the world wouldn't voluntarily go vegetarian for those reasons. So he just found a better way to produce it.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know how I feel about this. I mean, it might look like meat, and I think it probably would smell like meat as well, right? I don't know if I can actually agree that, you know, this is the better way of producing meat. You know, people who love meat are still going to want their authentic animal-based products in their burgers.
Yeah, but you know, that's actually where it gets like very interesting, because the team studied the properties of meat, especially something called heme, or I think that's how they say it.
Heme,
which is the molecule that makes blood red and gives meat a meaty taste. Mm. And then they experimented with reproducing those properties using only ingredients from plants. So they're not trying to make a veggie burger. They're actually trying to like reproduce something that is meaty and that your brain will think is meat by using molecules and texture that create like the fats and the chunkiness and even that the smell of like actual meat, you know.
That's so weird.
And I'm starving, and the result actually looks like it was made from an actual cow, not just from plants.
Yeah, and it even says here that the handful of chefs who were given first access to the product say that they think of it as meat, and you know, they actually say they can't tell the difference.
Yeah. So I mean, so, you know, I guess if they can't tell the difference, then it must be pretty good, right? I mean, I can't wait to try it, to be honest. Because look, before it's cooked, the product is red like beef.
Oh.
And then as it cooks, it becomes brown. So as the ghee mixes with juices and oozes out, it can look like it's bleeding. It's like using the same chemistry as cooking meat. This actually reminds me of like VR. Like if your brain thinks you're falling down from a cliff, and then you feel like you're falling down from a cliff, then what's the difference? So if your brain thinks it's meat, then, you know, good for them, it's meat.
I'm lying to my brain so many times these days in the digital world, you know. It's telling my mind I'm not eating meat, but, you know.
It might be meat. You don't know what to believe. You don't know, what's real or what's not.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, actually. So, you know, they actually have a big long-term mission. It says that U.S. restaurants serve more than 5 billion pounds of burgers every year. I had a few of them when I was there recently. And Impossible Burger wants its 12 million pounds to be in that statistics. And they're not even thinking about retail yet. They say that will come later on, along with other products that are in development, like poultry and steak. And, you know, they just want to create a new and better way to make meat without involving animals.
Yeah, I'm fully supportive of this, because I like meat, but I also like good vegetarian food.
Yeah, actually, me too.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't care if the meat comes from animals or not.
If it tastes good.
Yeah, if it tastes good, who cares, right? It's actually kind of unfortunate that it does come from animals, you know. So if these guys can make meat that looks like meat, and I can't tell the difference, then, you know, go for it. I'll probably never buy a real burger again if it's actually that good.
Well, you know, I still miss my Ramly Burger, you know. And if Ramly Burger decides to do one like this, then why not? You know?
I don't think it'll ever happen,
though. That Ramly Chicken Burger at this point of time is so hungry. Mm. Anyways, we've come to the end of the Enterprise Biz Bytes because we're really hungry. So we'll be rounding up the stories we covered today. The first story, we talked about a self-driving robot that will be delivering pizzas in Germany. I'm talking about food still. This is so terrible and it's so hard.
This is torture.
Now, Domino's have just signed a partnership with Starship Technologies. It is not something from Marvel, by the way. Mm-hmm. This is something real. There is a company called Starship Technologies.
Sounds very sci-fi.
It's damn sci-fi.
Very sci-fi.
And they've actually, you know, have self-driving carts with 6 wheels and it travels 4 miles per hour and can deliver 20 kgs of pizza.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for these things to show up here. But like what you said, it'll never reach your house.
Never reach your house.
We also covered a research recently released by Adobe Digital Insights on the future of work, and it went through 3 million future of work related social media mention captured on from Twitter, you know, news, blogs and forums between January 2016 to January 2017. Bad news was currently our region is suffering from labor shortage situations.
Yeah, so automation is really important there. And lastly, you know, we talked about Impossible Burger, which is setting up a new factory that will make 12 million pounds of plant-based burgers a year. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are making vegetarian burgers, but they do guarantee that it will be as delicious as any other meat in this world, and it will be ordered by everyone, not just vegetarians. So they're making a plant-based burgers that bleeds, you know, just like any other meat-based burger.
Mm-hmm. We have to judge when we try, when this stuff shows
definitely
up here. Yep. And up next at 12:30 is the Breakfast Grill Repeat with Munira Louis, CEO at Brand International, who is upbeat about the prospects of the business process outsourcing sector. She discussed her plans to expand regionally.
Yep, and that's all we have for the Enterprise Biz Bytes. And you can check out the app on the iOS App Store and also Google Play, and you can download the Enterprise Biz Bytes podcast, and all the links to the stories are there, and you also get a free Domino's pizza delivered by a robot in the near future.
Yeah. If,
unless we hijacked it, you know, then sorry, you know, pizza is mine. Anyways, this has been the Biz Bytes and the BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.